This is Making Sense of the Media. I'm Scott Finn. Today we're going to talk about a very disturbing photo that was published in the New York Post. And so just be warned, I'm joined by Kelly McBride of the Sensemaking Project at the Poynter Institute, who wrote an essay about this photo. Kelly, thanks for joining us.
You're welcome.
So briefly, the photo is of a man who was pushed into the tracks of an oncoming subway car in New York City. Kelly, can you take a second and describe what the photo shows?
Sure. You see a man trying to climb out of the subway well. You see a train that looks to be within 100 feet of him. And the headline says, "Pushed on the subway track, this man is about to die." And then there is on the bottom of the photo in big type, "Doomed."
Wow, and it is a disturbing photo.
It's disturbing because the subway hit the man and he died.
I think there are two issues here to deal with. One is the photographer himself who took this photo, and whether or not he could have, should have, did try to save this man.
You know, this is really interesting because I get calls a couple times a year from photographers who work in very difficult situations, war zones, natural disasters, third world situations where people are dying of famine, and they frequently want to know how they should make decisions about when they should put down the camera and help people. And one of the things that I tell them is that if someone's death or serious injury is imminent, and you are the most qualified person to help, then you do have a moral obligation to step in and help and do what you can. It's a tough decision to make. And we don't know a lot about whether he could have pulled the man out of the well.
And some media reports are saying that he did try to help by basically flashing the flash on his camera, trying to signal the subway operator to stop.
Right. And I don't want to second guess him because if he made a decision to help and then he decided in that split second that the best thing he could do would be to strobe his flash so that the conductor would see it, and it turned out that that didn't work, that would be a horrible thing to live with. And so I don't criticize him as much as I criticize the New York Post for running the photo.
Why do you, in your column, criticize the Post for making the decision to put that photo on its front page? Are you against putting any disturbing photos on the front page of a newspaper?
No, and historically, newspapers and television news programs have frequently brought us some of the most disturbing images that we can imagine. A photo of a child running after a chemical attack in Vietnam and stripping off her clothing. A photo of a child collapsed in a vulture hovering nearby in the Sudanese famine. So I think that there is a history of running disturbing photos for a journalistic purpose. There's no journalistic purpose in this particular photo. It's merely horrifying.
We keep coming back to photos. Photos in the Trayvon Martin case. We've talked about photos with Jill Kelly and David Petraeus.
With Hurricane Sandy and how they were faked. We've talked about photos a lot.
What is it about photos and choices about photos that really bring up these ethical issues?
Every single one of us could have been that photographer on the subway because almost all of our phones have photo capabilities, not just to take a photo, but to transmit a photo as well. And so images are a type of currency in this digital economy, and they are very powerful and they are easily manipulated. And so these ethical issues that we've always faced as journalists when it comes to images are now something that the entire society has to face.
Kellen McBride of the Sensemaking Project at the Poynter Institute, thanks again for joining us. I appreciate it.
You're welcome.